Okay, once again, I want to thank the Aaron, Martha, Isidore N., and Blanche Rozanski Contemporary Halakha Program, and a special thanks to Jeremy Barron for sponsoring tonight's shiur. Okay, what we are going to try to do is to chazer fairly quickly what Rabbi Willig said about Mechiras Chametz, and then maybe if we have a few minutes, we can talk about the shiur from Dr. Warburg, just to have a brief chazar of that, Dr. Warburg's share about donation and sale of human organs. So let's begin with Rabbi Willig's share. L'maisa mechiras chametz, if you really want to understand it, you have to do the work yourself. In other words, you have to read the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Mem Ches Sif Gimel. That's basically where it's all found. There's not so many chedushim that Rabbi Willig had in mechiras chametz. He had lots of stories, gevadika stories, but l'maisa, almost everything is in the Mishnah Berurah, and if you read the Mishnah Berurah, it's all pretty clear. The Mechaber tells us in Tav Mem Ches Sif Gimel that the chametz of a non-Jew sha'avar alav chametz, excuse me, chametz shal Yisrael, chametz of a Jew sha'avar alav ha-Pesach is going to be aser b'hana'a. But im machra o'nasno la'eno Yehudi shemichutz l'bayis kodem ha-Pesach, if you sell it to a non-Jew and it's a non-Jew who's outside of your house before Pesach, so then, and the non-Jew watches it for you over Pesach, so then it's going to be Mutar Bahana'a. And this is, of course, the Makar of Mechiras Chametz. Good problem. How come the non-Jew has to be someone who's outside of your house? Right? If I have a non-Jew who lives in my house, I'm not allowed to sell the Chametz to him. Why not? He's still non-Jewish. L'chayra, right? What changes? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Yud Beis addresses this question. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us that it's not really a din that the non-Jew has to be out of your house, per se. Rather, the ikik peida, the Mishnah Berurah says, the major concern is that the non-Jew should be motzi the chametz from your house. The concern is that you should do a meshicha of sorts, take the chametz out of your house. Why is there such a concern that you take the chametz out of your house? L'chora, if I sold the chametz to the non-Jew, even if the chametz remains in my house, so in the worst case scenario, what we have is chametz shal akum v'beis shal Yisrael. We have chametz of a non-Jew which is residing in a Jew's house, and if the Jew's not mekabel achrayis, there should be no problem on it. So how come we are makbid that you should be motziyit mibeis shal Yisrael? So for that, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Lechak Yaakov and other achronim that this is much worse. You see, ordinarily, if a non-Jew brings his chametz into my house, so there's not much of a concern that I'm going to eat it. But over here, this is not, yeah, it's a non-Jew's chametz, technically entitled, belongs to a non-Jew. But this chametz has been mine. This is my favorite bottle of schnapps. So there's a much greater concern that I might come to drink it over Pesach. Therefore, we recommend that the non-Jew takes it out of your house. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, L'maisa, this is all easy if I'm selling one bottle of schnapps. Let's say I'm selling, right, lots of bottles of schnapps, right? We're not going to talk about why you have so many bottles of schnapps in your house. That's for a different year. But if L'maisa, what's going to happen? Right? How can you be motzi from your house? Not so simple. So teretz is, you have to do some sort of halachic form of being motzi from your house, which means that you are makna the area where the chametz is to the non-Jew as well. So it's technically not in my house. It's inside my apartment, right? It's in the cabinet. Yeah, but that cabinet doesn't belong to me. So it's not my house, right? The Mishnah Berurah says, but you have to make sure, of course, that when you sell it to the non-Jew, that you give the non-Jew the keys to get in. It's got to be legitimate, right? If you put a lock on the chametz that the non-Jew doesn't have access to, and then you sell it to him, so obviously the whole mechira is batal and mevutal. The Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush. He says, let's say I sell the chametz to a non-Jew, and I sell not only the chametz, but I sell the cabinet where the chametz is. And after I sell that chametz, then I put a lock on. Zok the Mishnah Berurah, in this case, it does not invalidate the mechira. And the chametz does not become aser. Rabbi Willig says that perhaps one could be mefalpel. Perhaps one could challenge this and say the chametz actually does become aser. In that situation, there's a lot of lumdus involved in terms of the dinim of achrayis, etc. Good. The dinim of mechiras chametz, what exactly we do. So the mechaber says that we sell the chametz, and then if the guy gives it back to us after Pesach, everything is okay. Zok the Mishnah Brura, Sivkat Yud Gimel. If the guy doesn't want to give it back after Pesach, obviously you can't go and demand the chametz back from him, because this chametz is technically not your chametz. The sale, very important to know, the sale, right, by Mechiras Chametz, is absolutely a full-fledged legitimate sale. If you're going to go and demand it back, so that would invalidate the whole sale, so you can't do that. Therefore, the poskim recommends that you should do a interesting type of Mechira, which is that you don't sell it to the guy in such a way that the guy pays for the entire chametz. And what you do is, remember, the halacha is that a down payment, a partial payment, also can be kona, right? So you sell it to the guy with a down payment, and then you tell the guy, listen, after Yontiv, we're going to get an assessment. We'll have three professional evaluators figure out what this chametz costs, and then you'll pay up the rest of the money. Now, b'kahai gavna, you could go to the guy and you could say, after Pesach, listen, Reb Guy, right, you can't say Reb Yir, but you can say Reb Guy, listen, the chametz that we sold to you, you only paid, let's say, $100 for it. It's worth way more than $100. We'll give you a choice. Either you pay up the rest of the money that you owe us, or else we'll go back on the deal. Right, that's the din. And in that case, you are able to be tovei of the guy. Because the guy, even though he had a kinyan, but you're demanding the rest of the money from him. And that's really what we recommend. This is all in the Mishnah Brura, Sifkat and Yud Gimel. Right, that we demand that you give, we demand from the guy that he pays up the rest. It's interesting that the Bira Halacha over here recommends that when you buy the chametz back from the guy, you should mamish buy the chametz back. You should do another kinyan. You should not just say, okay, so guy, you don't want to pay it, like, let's forget about it. Rather, you should give the money back to the guy and do another kinyan. Again, this is all in order to affect the fact that, to show that it's mamish a real kinyan. We don't just say it's all evaporating. Beseder. Let's continue. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Yud Zayin is very important. Which kinyanim do we do? We know there's a machlokes, Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish in lots of places in Shas, even in Kedushin, on Daf Yud Gimel, about whether by Goyim, it's quoted in Rashi and Tosfos in Kedushin, whether by Goyim, which kinyanim do we have? The Gemara says that whatever kinyan applies by Jews, the other one applies by Goyim. So if Kesef works min haTorah by Jews, so Mashicha works by Goyim. If Mashicha works by Jews, so then Kesef works by Goyim. So l'maisa, the best way to sell chametz to a guy would be that you do these two kinyanim, Kesef and Mashicha. And if you do Kesef and Mashicha, so then you cover all your bases, because one of them for sure works, either Kesef or Mashicha. What could be the problem? Right? Oh, it's great, do Kesef and Mashicha. What's the problem? Mashicha. Problem is Mashicha, right? Because if you know that you're selling 9 million pounds of noodles from the entire community, it's very hard to do Mashicha on that. Kesef, okay, we can figure out a way to do it. But how are you going to do Mashicha? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Yud Zayin talks about situations that, well, you can't exactly do a Mashicha. So which kinyanim do you do? So there's huge discussions in Acharonim. Some say that you do kinyan Agav. Some say you do a kinyan Sudar, a kinyan Chalip, and you have to make sure that the handkerchief belongs to the guy. Others say that these kinyanim don't work at all. Maybe these kinyanim are only kinyanim midrabanan. And Chazal were never mitaken kinyanim midrabanan for goyim. So la halacha, what you should try to do is kesef and mashicha. If you can't do both, so bidiyaved, one would work. Right? Bidiyaved, even though l'chatchila we should try to do kesef and mashicha, you can't do both. Bidiyaved, the chametz won't become aser b'hanah if you only did kesef. However,
isn't that totally on machlokes Rashi Tosfos?
Right, but bidiyaved, we rely on, right, Rashi or Tosos and say it's going to be okay, because since the Isser of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach is only an Isser Drabanan, so we're relying on that Shita that it's okay to say that's not going to be Asr B'Handa'ah. That's the Chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkat Yud Zayin.
What about being worried about Ba'yir Ba'yir Matzeh?
What about by? So that's why lechatchila you're not supposed to do that. In order to avoid by Rabbi Matzah lechatchila, you should do all the kinyanim, or do at least kesef and meshicha. Let's say, b'diavad we'd rely on that one shita. Lemaisa, right? We do five kinyanim: kesef, meshicha, agav, suder, and we also do a kinyan of situmta. Right, that is mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatin Yud Tes. What we do is, like, Kinyan Situmta is basically, technically, it's like the cover of the barrel that they used to put on. Lamaisa, we assume that whatever is the derech of people to finalize a deal, like in the diamond district, you say Mazel Bracha, or people who shake hands at the conclusion against the ethicist. For people who shake hands, the conclusion of a deal, that concludes the deal. In Yiddish, it's called a zuschlag, right? When you shake hands. So that's the conclusion of the deal. So that's the kinyan. So we do all these kinyanim in order to make sure that you really have, in order to make sure that the guy is absolutely kona. A few details which are very important to know that the Mishnah Berurah recommends. One, the goy has to know what he's getting. This is one of the reasons why Rabbi Woleg is machmir to use the posek of Mechiras Chametz is a man named John Brown. John Brown is not Jewish. John Brown is a real estate agent who knows contract law very, very well. And John Brown understands exactly what he's getting, and it's very important that the guy knows what he's getting. It's also very important that when you assign the dollar value, you don't overestimate, because if you overestimate, so then you can get involved in shilas of onaah, which technically could lead to bittul mekach. If you don't want the sale to be bottle, you have to make sure that you don't give a high ball figure. You should also, in order to make the sale real, another advantage of John Brown is that you should he should be able to technically afford it, right? The whole thing is mamish a joke. If you have some janitor who's earning $18,000 a year, you're asking him to pay $140,000 to the chametz, right? That's quite a few years worth of his salary. It's not shaykh that he'll afford it. Doesn't make sense. A fellow who can afford it is what you should use for mechiras chametz. That's another advantage of John Brown. There's another advantage of John Brown, which is that John Brown is male. Rabbi Woleg's first Mechiras Chametz that he did, the first 3 years, was with a woman named Caroline. Now, Caroline is a woman, one of the kinyan is Situmta. Shaking hands, well, technically Rabbi Woleg says that you could be makel to shake hands, right, to affect the kinyan of the Mechiras Chametz. Fine. And the minhag is that we count up the amount of people who are selling chametz with the rabbi, and you give a pruta for each person, just so that you have a general sense of what's going on. The halacha also, just to go through a few more dinim, the halacha is that you can't sell the chametz with a tnai. A matana menasa hachzir, says in Shulchan Aruch, doesn't work. We don't do any tnai. But you can promise the guy that you'll buy it back after Pesach if he can't afford it. Right? It's not a tnai, it's just a havtacha. And that's okay, that's in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat in the Chof Gimel. We spoke earlier about when you buy the chametz back, that you should make a real kinyan. The Bir Halacha says that, yeah, I should make a real kinyan, because I should give the kesef back. But I don't require that the guy writes a new shtar to sell it back to me. Rather, we rely on those poskim who assume that handing back the other shtar itself affects the kinyan. Right? You don't have to write a new shtar. That far we don't go. Now, we mentioned earlier that Rabbi Willig, the first years, used Caroline. Right? And now we have one advantage of John Brown over Caroline, which is that the tsushlug, that handshake that they do, is less problematic with John than it would be with Caroline. There might be a slight halachic advantage of Caroline over John. You see, the Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses one of the kinyan that we make actually is a kinyan chatzer, right? We spoke about. What are the kinyan that we had? Let's go back again. The kinyan that we do is kesef ha-mishicha, agav, sudr, chatzer, I think we forgot chatzer, and situmta. Right?
That's the fifth.
Right, that's the fifth, is chatzer. So now, when we do a kinyan chatzer, the Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses how does chatzer work. There are two possibilities. Chatzer could be a subset of yad, which is just like my hand could make kinyanim. Chatzer can also make kinyanim, or chatzer could be based on shlichus. We have a problem, which is that there's no shlichus for goyim. Right? The Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin, ein shlichus la'akum. So how can we entertain the fact that there is kinyan chatzer by goyim? This is an issue that the Mishnah Brura raises in the Shar HaTzion os membeis. Right? Well, ingin chatzer, I am asher chatzer ba'amun ha'shmu ala hakshos, the chatzer mitam shlichos, ve'ein shlichos la'akum. It's a strong kasha. So it happens that you can be mechalik and suggest, based on one read of the sugya there above Metzia, that there's a difference between the chatzer of a man and the chatzer of a woman. By women, since they get a gittin, so the chatzer might be mitam yad. But by men, the chatzer is mitam shlichus. So there may be an advantage in using Caroline over John in terms of the kinyan chatzer. But okay, listen, we have so many other kinyanim anyway. It's not such a problem. Rabbi Willig also discussed the shayla about when you sell chametz. There's two possibilities that Rabbi Willig allows people to do. He has his mechiras yud gimel, mechiras yud dalet. What the rationale over here is twofold. One of the reasons to sell chametz on yud gimel, simply if you're someone like me and you have lots of kids and they run around the apartment always with Cheerios in hand, and you're not going to be home all Pesach, so you think, why should I do a real bedikas chametz? To go through all the bedik on all the rooms could be so time consuming, right?
You're not home at all during Pesach.
Not home at all during Pesach. So what you do is you sell the chametz on Yud Gimel. Therefore, it's not your house anymore. Maybe you're worried that you're being mevatel the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. So there's one little room in the house that you don't sell. This is recommended by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Taf Lamed Vav. Right? Mishnah Berurah says that you sell the whole house with the exception of that one room. You do the bedik in that one room that you don't sell. So that's one reason to sell the chametz. That's one reason to sell the chametz potentially in Yud Gimel. There's another reason to potentially sell the chametz Yud Gimel, which is it depends where you are in the world. Right? Remember, I could travel east. Right? If I travel east, so then Pesach begins before Pesach would begin if I stay in New York. Right? So I could potentially have an issue of owning chametz when it's already Pesach for me. If I, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, it's already Pesach for me, my chametz is in New York, hasn't been sold yet. Oyvei! Teretz is, you do mechiras yud gimel. So these are two reasons to do the early mechir. Then Rabbi Willig went through, just practically speaking, what he does. He read through his shtar, he made a few ha'aris on it, but most of the halachic issues that Rabbi Willig mentioned, I think we already covered. Okay, so are there any questions on Rabbi Willig's shir? Okay, now that we completed Rabbi Willig's shir, let's move on for a few minutes and we'll try to speak about Dr. Warburg's shir that he gave today about the sale of human organs. Now, the basic discussion in Poskim is, am I allowed to donate my kidney? People, like, matter of fact, people do have two kidneys. There's actually many ads in newspapers that they ask someone to sell a kidney. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to sell a kidney? So the first discussion over here really relates to a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Gimel. The Gemara over there says, "Minayin ros chaver shetoveya benohar, I see my friend who's drowning. So how do I know that I'm a chiyuv to go and save him? Zok the Gemara lo samar al dam reyacha. I have a chiyuv to go and save him. B'hashiv osolo lo samar al dam reyacha. The Gemara says, right, you have to pay money, etc. Ad kan divrei haGemara. The simple meaning of the Gemara would be that there's a guy drowning, you're going to save him, so obviously you're entering some sort of suffix sakana in order to rescue this fellow, no? And I'm jumping in the water with a guy kicking up and down, right? Who knows, he could pull me under. The simple reading is that it's permitted to enter suffix sakana, perhaps not only permitted, l'chora, the Gemara saying m'choyev, you're m'choyev to enter suffix sakana to save somebody from a vaday sakana. The problem is that all of the Achrayim say that Talmud Bavli holds that you're not mechuyev to enter a suffix sakana to save somebody from avadai sakana. Let's say it like this: the Sman Simin Tov Chof Vav quotes from the Beis Yosef, who quotes from the Hagos Maimoni. It's actually not a Hagos Maimoni on the page; it's Hagos Maimoni the Fus Constantinople, I think, which is in the back of the Franco Rambams. The Hagos Maimoni says from the name of the Yerushalmi, and we're not exactly sure where this Yerushalmi is, so we have lots of sphakis over here. The Yerushalmi is quoted as saying that you're mechuyev to put yourself into a suffix sakana to save somebody from a vaday sakana. However, the Sma notes Tavchavav Sivkot and Yeralav that listen, you know, even though the Beis Yosef quoted this, but he doesn't quote it in Shulchan Aruch. Why doesn't he quote in Shulchan Aruch? Because all the poskim, Rambam, Rif, and Tur, all the poskim do not quote this Yerushalmi, presumably because the Bavli disagrees. The Bavli disagrees. Which Bavli disagrees? Right? We just said that we thought the Bavli is saying the same thing. So, it's an interesting point, but obviously you see that their understanding that our Gemara, our Talmud Bavli, is not really a situation when you're entering the suffix sakana. If somebody's drowning and I know how to swim, it's not even a suffix sakana. So there's a certain threshold. What that threshold is a good question. We've had a few shiurim in the past. If you're interested, you could listen to Rabbi Neuberger and Dr. Reichman last year in the Contemporary Halacha, spoke about the tshuva and the binyan siyum, about what's the threshold where we assume that something is considered suffix sakana. Shemer psaim Hashem. Right, there are certain cases where the Gemara says that God protects the stupid people. That means that you're doing something which technically is dangerous, but everyone does it, and therefore it's mutar. That means it doesn't really rise to the level of suffix sakana. In the Lashon of the Radvaz, that's called mixa sakana. So obviously, that's the way you have to understand this Gemara here in Sanhedrin. That the case is that there's a fellow who's drowning. It's not even a suffix sakana. That's why I'm mechuyev to save him. If it would be a real suffix sakana, I would have no chiyuv at all. Perhaps it would be osur to save him. That is the way the poskim seem to take it. We do not follow this mass. So I cannot enter a suffix sakana, but what we will call a mixa sakana, if it's not really dangerous and the threshold might be what normal people do in normal situations, based on the principle of Shemer Pesayim Hashem. So then it is mutter if it is a mixas sakana. So at least mutter, perhaps even chayiv. This is a point that Dr. Warburg didn't really go into with such great detail, but again, in that share with Rabbi Neuberger, Rabbi Neuberger fleshed it out a little bit more. There might be different levels within a mixa sakana. If it's a low enough amount of sakana, so then you would be chayiv. Fine. It's interesting to note, so we're saying that there's a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, whether you're allowed to enter a suffix sakana to save somebody from a vaday sakana. The Or Sameach has a few fascinating pieces over here, no? The Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma in the beginning of Parsha Shmos, this is something that Dr. Warburg didn't mention, but we may as well add a little bit in these Chazer Shirim. The Meshech Chochma points out the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Leif Shuv Mitzrayim, Ki Mesu Kol HaAnoshim HaMevachshim Es Nafshecha. Right? That Moshe needed a special directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and return to Mitzrayim because there are people trying to kill him. Now think about it. There are people trying to kill Moshe. Are they definitely going to kill Moshe? No. Right? Maybe they'll be successful. Maybe Dasan and Aviram will be successful. Maybe not. It's a suffix sakana. Moshe's returning to Mitzrayim. Right? Why is he going back to Mitzrayim? To save the entire Jewish people. This isn't, right, saving a Yachid. This is saving all of Klal Yisrael. Zak the Arsa Meach, but you see from that pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu needed a special tzivui from Hashem to return to Mitzrayim to put himself in a suffix sakana. Because if not for that tzivui from Hashem, it would be usur to enter a suffix sakana to save everybody from a vaday sakana. Not only that, the Arsa Meach points out, this is the pashtus in the Gemara in Makos. The Gemara in Makos says that if a person is in an ir miklat, because he's a Reitzeach B'shogeg, and this person is the general of Klal Yisrael, like Yoav ben Tzeruya, and all of Klal Yisrael needs him to win the war, he's not allowed to leave the Ir Miklat, because the Goyal Hadam might kill him, no? One second. This is Vaday Sakana for all of Klal Yisrael. You are chief general of the Jews, right? Klal Yisrael needs you, and I'm not allowed to leave the Ir Miklat to save all of Klal Yisrael, no? Right, that means l'chora that I'm not allowed to enter a suffix sakana to save people from a vaday sakana. Another dig from the Oris HaMeach. If you're interested in more Ma'ariv Makomos on this issue, there's a Gemara in Nida on Daf Samach or Samach Aleph, I forget already. Interesting story about a case of lashon hara back and forth, and then it's Siv in the Shodos, and that Gemara has a raya that Gemara in Nida holds also that it's usur to put yourself into a suffix sakana to save people from a vaday sakana. There's a lot of Ma'ariv Makomos in this question. It's a very interesting question. Halacha l'maaseh, these are discussions in poskim about kidney transplants. Because if I go under the knife to give up my kidney, even though you're in vaday sakana, am I allowed to do that? To put myself into a suffix sakana? Right, to save you from a vaday sakana? What's interesting over here is that there seems to be a shift in the tshuvos. The earlier tshuvos, there's a tshuv by Reb Moshe and a tshuv by the Tzitz Eliezer from the 1960s. The earlier tshuvos all say that it is forbidden. It's forbidden to do that. The later tshuvas, Chacham Avad Yosef and the tshuva from 1974, there's also a tshuva in Yechav Adas that he has, a little bit of a later tshuva that Chacham Avad has on this topic. Chacham Avad goes so far and he says that's a mitzvah. Is it really a machlokas? Perhaps he could argue, and it's not only Dr. Warburg who said that, Rabbi Reichman, when he gave the shiur last year, also said that there's no machlokas over here. Because in later times, right, the science got better, the medicine got better, it was safer. It's now there's less danger involved in giving up a kidney. If there's less danger involved in giving up a kidney, so then it's no longer a suffix sakana. Then perhaps one could argue there's a mitzvah to do so, or you're mechuyev to do so. Right? Many poskim assume that even bisman hazeh, when there's less danger involved, it's not really a mitzvah. Right? I think he quoted that Reb Levi Halperin said that it's a midas chasidus to do it, etc. What about selling organs? Am I allowed to sell my organ? Interesting question, no? Mitzadecha, pikuach nefesh. Should be great. Me'idach, one could argue that if you're allowing people to sell organs, so this will lead to what Dr. Warburg called the commodification of body parts, which would be a devaluation of human life. It would be we're looking at people not as people, we're looking at people as some composite of body parts. It could lead to just certain social ills. So l'chayra, one could argue, right, that this is a question of halacha versus certain societal morals. Halacha versus public policy. Halacha on the one hand says, at least it's a midas chasidus to give an organ. But public policy, maybe we would discourage people from giving organs, because from selling, from banking, we discourage you from selling organs, because as a matter of public policy, it could lead to certain untoward social consequences. Rabbi Warburg quoted from Rav Duchovsky, who's dying on the Bet Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, that he felt that if the person really needs the money, right, for his parnosa, then it would be okay to sell the organ. Okay, to say there, that's an interesting position. Others like to look at the question in a different sort of light. It's not a question of halacha versus public policy. Rather, we can view the question as being a question within halacha itself. And you could do this in a few different ways. You could say that there's a question over here as to, on the one hand, I have a mitzvah of hatzalah. On the other hand, against the mitzvah of hatzalah, I have an iser of chavala. Right? The Mishnah Bava Kama says it's aser lachbol ba'atzmo. No, I can't injure myself. The Radvaz points out, I'm not the bailim on my Rosh Yevarim. I don't own my own body. My body is really God's. So Mimela, we could view that the conflict over here is hatzalah on the one hand versus the iser of chavala on the other hand. Dr. Warburg also pointed out a third way to look at this question, which is a variation of the second way, but it's a way of looking at just mitzad the iser of chavala. There's a celebrated Rambam where the Rambam speaks about that the iser of chavala is only girsei shu derech nitzayon, derech bizayon, whatever the Rambam is saying. The point is that the iser of chavala is only if you're doing it to give pech. Right? In the situation that you're doing chavala for a positive benefit, that's not the iser of chavala at all. If that's the case, so then that might be the question over here: how seriously do we take the Rambam or the Rishonim is silent about this point of derech nitzayon? That could be the question. Okay, so there are really three different ways of looking at this question: whether it's permitted to sell organs. What Dr. Warburg did at the end of his shiur is he brought a Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara in Gittin has an interesting way of has an interesting question that really hits on this shaila of public policy. Right? The Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us in Gittin, that you're not poda shavuyin yeser mikdei demehen, that you don't redeem captives for more money than they are worth. How much are they worth? What exactly is the going market for captives? I don't know. But Mistara, there are still places in the world where there are markets and people know this. Now, why is this? That ein poydes hashavuyin yesem mikdei demehen. So the Gemara in Gittin daf memhei omer aleph tells us two reasons, two possibilities. It's certainly mipnei tikkun ha'olam, but one possibility is the concern of duchga de tzibura. We're worried that the community won't be able to afford it, right? We don't want to force the community to enter poverty. The second issue that the Gemara in Gittin raises is Aidilma Mishum de Oligarvu Velaisitfei. We're worried that the Goyim may take more captives. If they know that they could get $600 million for each captive, right? So then they might take more. It's a story actually that Rav Shechter has in the Sefer Bikvei Hatzon about when Rav Hutner was captured by the Jordanians on that flight. So there's a big discussion among the Rabbanim about whether the din of Ein Poydes Hashavuyin Yeser Mikdei Demehen apply to Rav Hutner or not. There might be an exemption for Gedolei Yisrael. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky told them not to spend too much money to redeem Rav Hutner from the captives. There's a story over there that Rav Shechter has in the Sefer Bikvei Hatzon. So there are two possibilities in the Gemara. One possibility is mishum duchga tzibura, that we're worried about pressuring people too much. The other is that they shouldn't take more. Again, the issue of duchga tzibura seems to be a clear issue of public policy. Some Rishonim paskin like the first lashon in the Gemara of duchga tzibura. Others paskin like the second lashon. The discussion, the Yamshar Shlomo, the Rush, all the makoros are in your packet. What he quoted at the very end is from Rav Moshe Hirschler, who at one point taught in our yeshiva. And Rav Hirschler had a slightly different take on the situation. He pointed out the Ran on Daf Yotessim off the Daf Harif in Masechet Shabbos. The Ran over there says that whatever is a tzara for the entire tzibur rises to the level of pikuach nefesh for a yachid. Right? It could be that duchad tzibura is a real situation of pikuach nefesh. Whatever would impoverish the tzibur could be pikuach nefesh halachically. If that's the case, so we could argue that what's your concern? Pikuach nefesh for this guy? No, but there's an alternative pikuach nefesh concern, right? Giving the kidney might save this guy's life, but making the entire community poor is also considered a pikuach nefesh concern, because poverty for the entire tzibur has the same din as pikuach nefesh based on that ran. That's a very interesting ran. We have to look in the Tshuva Svarim to see if this ran is quoted. The ran is 2 days over there in Masechta Shabbos. The ran has a second approach to understand the Gemara in Daf Mem Beis. So it's possible that this position is not accepted, but it's certainly a fascinating position. So with this, we will close the semester. I look forward to seeing everyone on the Bechina, May 10th. Makeup date, May 31st. And Kol Tov.